Good morning, everybody. I'm Alicia, and this is my 10th time here. Just joking. All right. Thank you in advance, Joshua. When you announced, when Penny or Kim announced that we need somebody, or Patty did, that we need someone for tech, we were talking at our table, Laura and I, and I'm like, I need to FaceTime someone in my family for how to use the TV remotes. Like, I wish I could do tech. Yeah. Oh, it's great to be here. Just want to quiet our hearts. That was a lot this morning. Just want to quiet our hearts. And I just thank you all for coming. And as Patty talked about me a little bit, I think you all know that I am a wife. I'm married to Spencer, and I have 3 kids, so I'm a mom and a grandma, or a Gigi. I love all of these roles, but I also love other things. I really like to ski. I like to hike. I like to paint. I like to teach art, which I do in 2 of the after-school programs in Moraga. One thing you may not know that I do is CrossFit. It's kind of funny because this is something that Spencer and I do together. And what's great about it is there's accountability. You have to sign up online first. So that gets us to the parking lot. And then we sit there and look at each other and we say, what are we doing here? Like, we could be having a nice leisurely breakfast at home, but here we are. All right, so let's go in. But what I love about it is I'm accepted at my age and with my limited abilities. I'm accepted there. I'm encouraged. I'm stretched. I grow. I feel stronger. And it reminded me of Moms Connect. Like, when we come here, we're accepted, we're encouraged, we're pushed a little bit, and we feel better. Sometimes it's hard to get to the parking lot. I know we live busy, full lives, but once I get up here and once I leave, like, I never know what God has in store. Like, I never know what CrossFit has in store for me. But once I leave, I'm nourished, and I feel stronger, and I just want to thank you all for making the effort in your busy, busy lives, and welcome to all the new people for fitting us in today in your busy lives. And I just thank you for being here and taking care of you, which takes care of your families and takes care of our communities. So it goes on and on. So before we begin, I would like us to bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are and for each woman in this room, also for our beloved Josh in the back, our one man in the room. And we just thank you for everyone in the room and for the families that they represent. We thank you for the messages that we've heard thus far in our series that love speaks truth, that love requires commitment and selfless sacrifices, that love conquers fear, and today's topic, love offers grace. Father, all of these speakers and messages help us learn more about you, help us learn more about ourselves and each other, and we thank you for that. So quiet our minds, open our hearts, and we look forward to your message on the gift of grace. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. So grace is a word we use in everyday life a lot. Like, grace is a beautiful name. I don't know if any of you have that gorgeous name of Grace or any of your kids or grandkids. It's just such a beautiful name. But we use it in everyday life, not only in a name, but also maybe saying, there but by the grace of God go I, or boy, she handled that with such grace. I want to stay in her good graces. or maybe before a meal, who wants to say grace? To my surprise, when I looked up the word in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, the definition was unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. It is a virtue coming from God. So by wow is right. I was like, what? That was the first definition. That was a Merriam-Webster dictionary. That was the first definition of grace. By definition, a virtue is a trait or behavior showing high moral standards. You and I are not born with them. Virtues are learned. Take the common virtue of honesty. For example, we teach our little ones to tell the truth. It usually takes years of teaching, correcting, encouraging, with the goal in mind that over time, just like we develop any skill, we will raise a responsible, loving human who is also honest. We may be taught other common human virtues like courage, empathy, loyalty, patience, gratitude, and compassion, and there are many more. But what makes grace unique is that it comes from God. The Greek word for grace is charis. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It means not only grace, but it's a little more well-rounded. It also means favor or kindness. This gives us an enlightened perspective when we read the word grace in the Bible, which it's in the Bible over 150 times. It frequently refers to God's unmerited favor, his kindness and love given to all. We can try to put the meaning of God's grace into words, try to summarize it in a line or two, but since God is the creator and true source of grace, we cannot do it justice, and our minds will never fully comprehend the meaning of the word, because his grace is endless and perfect. He is a creator, the source, and perfect example. So what are the truths about grace? We're going to look at a passage on the screen, and you also have it on your handout. It's the passage from Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So there's so many truths in this one passage in the Bible. So let's break it down. The first truth is that God's grace has a power to save. It is by grace you have been saved. The very first part of this passage. The power is that it comes from God, not anything else, not anybody else. His grace through our faith in Jesus empowers us to live transformed and ultimately an eternal life with him. And what is the saved part? This isn't interesting because we think saved one-time event. Not true. This is a threefold saved: past, present, and future. We have been saved when we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We are being saved right now, this week, this month. Our faith journey is a lifetime journey of our transformation through Christ. And we will be saved. We as believers have hope that we will spend eternity with him. So only God's grace has the power to save. The second truth in this passage comes right after, for it is by grace you have been saved. It continues, through faith, we have a part to play in being saved by God's grace. We are called to believe in him. It reminds me of that scripture in the Bible where Jesus comes knocking at the door. We saw a slide in here one time at Moms Connect, and I'll never forget it. He's knocking at a closed door, and there's a person on the other side doing something else. But his intention isn't that we have him stand there knocking forever and ever for all of eternity. He wants us to open the door. That is his desire. He says in Revelation 3:20, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with that person and they with me. That's a relationship. That's a gift. We start living in relationship with him, and life will never be the same. for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. The Message reads, the other translation of the Bible called The Message, it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. We can't look to others and we can't save ourselves. We need to open the door to him and believe. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. The third truth is God's grace is a gift. And this is not from yourselves. This is a gift from God. When you get a gift from someone, say a birthday present or a Christmas present, it's a nice surprise. And many times, hopefully, something you can use or enjoy for a period of time. When I was working full-time in the corporate world, I got lots of tchotchkes, that we called them, little silly things with a logo imprinted on it. It could be a luggage tag, a fridge magnet, you know, the stuff. And those were really fun. It might get a, oh, cool, you know, for a moment. But they didn't really add a measurable amount of joy to my life. And I can tell you that there was one time when I won a 10-speed bike at a casino night at work. That was a really great big tchotchke. And I was working, so that was a nice gift. And I did really use that, and it did change my life and bring me some temporary joy. But most gifts like that from work are, you know, expendable. You know, I think I've given all of those things away or used them up or donated them. I might still have one luggage tag. That's all I have left of all those corporate gifts. But they don't have... They're replaceable, and they all have very limited value. Another kind of work, or another kind of gift, are gifts from friends and coworkers. Maybe they know you a little bit, or maybe a lot, if it's a good friend. And these gifts can be thoughtful, even meaningful, and might be useful. In some cases, gifts from friends and coworkers are enjoyed for days or weeks or months, or even years. Still, this type of gift usually isn't really life-changing. A gift from a loved one usually comes from the heart. I'm trying to remember gifts received by my loved ones over the years. I really tried to rack my brain, but the first thing that came to my mind were all the handwritten cards and notes from, and I have every single one of them from Spencer. They were more frequent in the beginning, now that I think about it. But I have every single note and card he ever wrote me, and I have every single birthday card and Mother's Day cards that my kids made. And it's so fun to look through them again. Like, those are gifts from the heart, and those are truly, I don't know, they still transform me. So those are really wonderful gifts, and from a... When you get a gift from a loved one, that is truly so meaningful and can warm your heart. But the most valuable gift of all is a gift from God. And God's grace is a gift. We can't manufacture it. We can't come up with grace on our own. We need him. God's grace is truly the best gift of all. And it transforms your life. The only gift that can truly transform our lives. The fourth truth about grace is that it's not from works so that no one can boast. This gift is unique because it is unmerited. The Bible is clear and wants us to understand what grace is not. It's not something we merit. We can't earn it and we don't deserve it. You can't volunteer at church enough. You can't love enough. You can't pray enough. You can't do any of these things enough. Are these important? Yes. Are we called to do all these things? Yes. But God's standard is so high. That's why he sent his son Jesus to die for us, to bring us in relationship with him, to reconcile us with him, the ultimate gift of God's grace. So the truth about God's grace is that it has the power to save. We are saved through grace. It is a gift from God, and it's unmerited. All of that in that one passage. So how do we experience God's gift of grace? Sometimes we can experience his loving gift of grace through people that he puts into our lives. I'm sure you can all think of examples where you were going through a tough time or a challenging time, and someone you met on the street, dropped off at school, in the grocery store, wherever it might be, you had a conversation, and you're like, wow, what a coincidence. I don't believe that it was a coincidence. I believe God works through people, and God will manifest his grace to you through his creation, through a conversation, through people being in the right place at the right time for you at the moment where it's most needed. I believe that he also works, or offers his grace to us through nature. I experienced a clear, beautiful gift of God's grace on a mountaintop in Tahoe this summer. I was hiking alone and missing my mom. She passed away a couple years ago. My thoughts were those of gratitude for our relationship, and then I started feeling all this regret. And I'll tell you where the regret came from. A couple weeks before she died, I was with her, made her breakfast, and she looked up at me, and I'm not gonna cry. She looked up at me and she said, she called me Leash. Yes, like, not Alicia, but just Leash. She called me, she said, Leash, I'm scared. I'm scared. And I just remember praying to God to give me the right words. I can't tell you what my response was, ladies. That's how this would have been carrying around with me. What did I say in response to that? Did I say the right thing? Did God give me the words? I don't remember. So what stuck with me was, I'm scared. This has been on my mind for 2 years. And my sisters said she was at peace when it happened. She knew where she was going, like it was peaceful, all those things. But I kept having that in the back of my mind, I'm scared. And what did I say? How did I respond? So I was walking on this hike by myself, and I'm like, oh, I just miss you, Mom. I didn't really know how to sum all these feelings up. And I was heading back down the hill, and I was just, a tsunami of grief washed over me, like bawling aloud in nature. And I was walking along, and this butterfly started, out of nowhere, big butterfly, like, are there monarchs in Tahoe? I don't know, but it looked like a monarch. And it started fluttering around in front of me, kind of toward me, like in the path, not over here or over here. I'm like, oh, thanks, God. Like, that's a really beautiful little bit of nature to get my mind off of poor me. And so I'm watching the butterfly, so beautiful, and it kept going away, coming back, going away, coming back. It did this like 4 or 5 times. Now I'm starting to think, okay, what's happening here? So I stood still and I said out loud, I will stand here as long as you want. And I just stood there. And then I am not kidding you, what happened next, the butterfly came and it went like this and it landed right here. And I could not believe it. I so wanted to get my phone out of my fanny pack and take a picture of it, but I knew it would take off. And so I stood there. And what God said to me in that moment was, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I was not with my mom at that moment where she passed into eternity, but God was. Be still and know that I am God. I couldn't have done a thing. I couldn't have changed a thing. I couldn't have said the best thing or the right thing. God was there. And I can't tell you, I practically ran down that hill after that experience of be still and know that I am God. What a gift of God's grace where he met me on that path by myself. I don't think that was my mom. I'm not saying that. I'm not like metaphysical minded. But I know that was a gift from God speaking to me to put that scripture on my heart. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. So I practically ran down the hill so I could come home. And I immediately called my dad and told him that story. So he's like, you got to write that down. You can never forget that that happened. That was God speaking to you. So I really believe that God will surprise you as he has surprised me, and he will give you a gift of his grace in unexpected ways. I want to acknowledge these moments and accept them and be transformed by them. When we acknowledge him and accept, received God's gift of grace in our lives will change. The result is far different from a gift from any other source. The result is we are transformed into someone new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are changed from being swayed and torn by a world perspective to the peace and comfort of a God perspective. We are changed from trying to win the approval of people to knowing that our relationship with God is our most important relationship. Being renewed is putting away the old and putting on the new. New heart, new mind, new actions, new way of being. And a challenge for me is new way of responding. This is when you pray, God, give me your grace. This is a grace beyond my capacity. Give me your grace in this moment. Pastor Sean Michael Lucas writes, what would happen if instead of saying that faith changes everything, we claim that grace transforms everything? He continues, relationships with others are transformed. Work, parenting, community, engagement with the arts, music, film, all take on new meaning because we take Christ with us into these arenas. Even more, he says, we can be honest about ourselves, which means defensiveness is gone, replaced by authenticity, confession, repentance, and forgiveness. I just love those words. Those things don't come automatically. We need God. We need God's grace. Our human nature is such that we hold on to grudges. And the Bible adds that we lie, we are deceitful, we are ungodly, we act out in sinful ways, we are wayward, and sorry, but there's a lot more we do, and it's all in the Bible, things that we do. That's why we need him. When we are transformed by God's grace, we have the desire to put away the old and in turn offer grace to others. We become agents of grace, but as one pastor said, not secret agents. We are called to go out and spread that joy to others with joy. So I'll close with not singing. I was going to ask Joshua, but that would have been a lot. But I will say it. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Thank you, Jesus.